How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
It's good to be with you this week on the broadcast. We're going to be preaching through the book of 1st and 2nd Peter. We'll just go kind of verse by verse and go through these two books. I think about Peter and the Apostle Peter here, who have obviously wrote these books. And, you know, I really like and love to read after Peter and read about his life and the things that he went through and the things that he did for the Lord. I think Peter, you know, he had times of doubt, times of frustration, times that he wasn't what he ought to be, and that's the way we all are. It's never an excuse for that, but we can sure see ourselves in Peter, and that's one thing that is so wonderful about the Scripture is that the Scripture also not just only shows what people do that were good and righteous things for the Lord, but it also will show warts and all, sin and all, failures, shortcomings, things that are not right, and then the Lord working on that person and them repenting and getting right with Him. As we look here in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. So Peter here opens up his letter, and he's directing this letter to the strangers. Now, I thought that was kind of a odd way maybe to put the address and who he was writing it to the strangers, but I believe strangers there, you know, the Bible talks about those of us that are saved as being strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, when a person is a stranger or a pilgrim, they don't feel at home. They're out of their country, you might say. And I think that's what the people of God, we that are saved, ought to realize, is that though we may be in familiar places that we might call home down here, that we are still strangers and pilgrims in this world. You know, the Word of God tells us very plainly that this world is not our home. And we ought to be strangers and foreigners to this country. You know, if you traveled to a country you'd never been to before, you would be a stranger and it's not your home country. You'd be a foreigner. You would kind of be out of place. And I think that's the way we that are saved, we ought to, if we're feeling too comfortable and too at home and too in place with this world, then we might need to realize that we're becoming too much like this world. And another thing is a pilgrim and a stranger. You know, a pilgrim was a traveling person. They weren't staked down and they weren't settled down in one place very long. You know, as Abraham, he was like that. He would go from place to place. And God promised that his seed would inherit a land. But he was a stranger and a pilgrim. And, you know, one man said that, I heard a brother say one time, don't drive your tent pegs too deep. And that's true. We don't want to get too gripped onto this world, and the temptation is definitely there. Now, verse 2, we see Peter goes on here and he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, the Bible tells us there, the word elect there literally means chosen. He said, you're chosen by God, the Father. See, salvation is not man coming to God, but God coming to man. You know, there's no way that man would ever come to God. Now, I'll agree that man has some kind of desire. Most every man has a desire to worship something. You go to countries that were, you know, way back in the jungles, you might say, and not been modernized several years ago, that have not maybe seen a lot of things, but they'll always have some kind of statue or some person. Man has an inward thing to worship something. But I won't say that man, though he'll worship something, he'll worship everything but the God of heaven until the God of heaven comes to him. He'll worship the moon and the stars. He'll worship the sun. He'll worship a rock or a tree or a statue or some man or woman or whatever. Man will worship, I believe. We will worship something naturally, but we'll never worship the Jehovah God of heaven unless it's a supernatural work in God according to his foreknowledge. That word foreknowledge means forethought, and that's a glorious thing. How rich the grace of God that he would do that for us, that he would come to us, and that he would choose us. And that, how did he do that? He did it through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. See, how does God bring that salvation? How does he bring that to us? He brings it to us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in the blood of Christ and it being shed on the cross for us, that the payment was made for us on the cross, and that through repentance and faith that God gives us as a gift of grace, we can be saved through his blood. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter not only wanted to bless Jesus Christ, but he wanted to bless God, the Father of Jesus Christ. We see a good mention of the Trinity there, which according to his abundant mercy. Sinner friend, I want to say that you need the mercy of God extended to you. We do not want the justice of God. I'm afraid a lot of people, they'll say, give me justice. Give me justice. Well, a guilty man doesn't need justice. If you're before a judge and you're guilty of a certain crime, you don't want justice, because if you get justice, you'll get the death penalty, you'll get put in jail, you'll get fined, you'll get something that you don't want. A guilty man, whether it's spiritually you're guilty before God or you're guilty of breaking a law and committing a crime, a guilty man deserves justice. But you don't want justice. If you want something that'll give you some relief, you want mercy, which according to his abundant mercy. The word abundant there means an excess, an over the amount that we might think is needed. But God has more mercy than enough. He's got abundant mercy. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That word there, begotten us again, just simply means to be born again. We are born again by the resurrection. See, I think it's in the book of Romans. It said that he was raised again for our justification. See, the gospel is not just the sinless life of Christ. It's not just his virgin birth. It's not just his death. It's not just his burial, and it's not just his resurrection. It's all the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the sinless life of Christ. All of it is the gospel, because if he had claimed to be the Son of God, he had died on the cross and was buried but didn't raise again, and there was no resurrection, then the Bible says we'd still be dead in our sins. But praise be unto God that we have been born again unto a lively hope. See, our hope is a living hope. You know, when you think of the word hope, some people will say, well, I hope this happens. You know, like they've got a lot of doubt and wonder if it's going to happen or not. But see, biblical hope is not a swaying back and forth and don't really know and hope it does and maybe it will. No, a lively hope or any hope that a Christian has means steadfast, rooted, and founded in the Scripture and in God. And that's why our hope doesn't shift all the time. Our hope is eternal and steadfast and sure. Okay, let's look now in verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. Now, see, verse 3 ended with a comma. And you know from English class or grammar class, either one, that that means the thought's going on. A period usually ends that thought. Or even if it doesn't end it completely, it might change directions. But this comma here, and let me back up and read that last part of verse 3. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the thought goes on to verse 4. Now, this resurrection, what did it produce? An inheritance. See, when we think of inheritances, before there can usually be an inheritance, though some people may give their children or their heirs an inheritance before death, that an inheritance usually comes after there's a death. And the Bible talks about that, I believe, in the book of Hebrews, that there must be a death, the tester before there can be a reading of the will or the testament. And see, Christ, he died. He died, and after his death, those whom he saves have an inheritance. You know, an inheritance can be, you can get some property from people, a home or a house, I should say, furniture, money, land, different things like that. But see, the inheritance that we get from God is far greater than those things, because why? It's incorruptible. See, if you inherited tons of money, $1 million or more, that money, if you don't watch it, you could spend it all. You could lose it all in investments. Anything could happen to it. It's because it's not incorruptible. You inherit a house, fire could destroy it. You inherit furniture and it'll wear out. You inherit land and you have to work it because it's corrupt. You have to fight to keep the thistles and the briars and maintain it and do things to it. See, those are corruptible. Those are corruptible inheritances, but the inheritance that we get through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is an incorruptible inheritance, and it's undefiled. See, everything that in this world is defiled, the very core, this whole earth is defiled, man's defiled, everything on it's defiled, and see, even our inheritances that we can get from the earthly things, they are defiled. But this inheritance from Christ, it's not like that. And it fadeth not away. See, when something fades, you think about you've got to have your favorite shirt or pair of pants or whatever piece of clothing. They'll fade as time goes on. Paint fades. Everything in this world, because of the elements, it fades away. But our inheritance doesn't fade away. It fadeth not away. And that's a blessed thought. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. That's you know, when you go somewhere and you've been traveling and you're wore out and you get to a motel and you've already made reservations. It feels good going when you pull in. You don't have to look up and say, well, is there any vacancy here? I wonder if they've got a room for me. No, you've got reservations and it's for you. If I went in there and called your name out and said, or told them my name and said, I want this room. And they said, well, we've got one left, but it's reserved for John Doe. Then Chad Johnson's not going to get John Doe's room because why? It's reserved for him. And I'm glad, thank God, that our inheritance, our salvation, the hope that we have of our souls is reserved in heaven. And it's reserved for you personally if you're saved. And that's a blessed thought to know that the Lord would do that for us. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept. That word there, kept, has a sense of being guarded or protected, like a military would protect somebody. It's being well kept, well guarded. And our soul, our inheritance, it's kept. It's guarded by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of God. And I tell you what, and it's through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, our time is up this week. God bless you. And we'll be back next week and we'll take off in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.